Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Well, good evening, Bayside. Great to be here. I am super excited because we're going to be baptizing four people here tonight. And I don't know about you, but baptism service is one of my favourite services in the year. It's an amazing time when we see people declare their faith in Jesus Christ and do that through a baptism service. I'm going to just bring a short message tonight, and the title of my message is called The Immersed Life. And so we're going to get straight into it. If you've got your Bibles, let's open up to Matthew 28. Woo! Sounding good. Okay, we're going to read from verses 18, and we're probably very familiar with this passage of Scripture because it's known as the Great Commission. This is Jesus pretty much having his sort of last words with his disciples before he was about to pass away. So I just want to pick up from verse 18, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." I love this because straight up Jesus is telling us what we need to do. We need to be making disciples and we need to be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, baptism is a significant event in a believer's life. And as I just mentioned earlier, it's when we publicly declare our Jesus is Lord of our life and that we're choosing to follow him. But it's also significant for what it actually represents. That word baptizing means, in the Greek, it's baptizo, which means immersion. So immersion, and we know when we see the tank here, it means to immerse in water. But immersion also means to plunge oneself fully, to be fully engaged and absorbed. You know, I've seen what absorbed looks like. I've seen guys in front of the telly watch Geelong versus Hawthorne and be totally engaged. I've also seen them in front of the Xbox as well, and you can't pull them away. Girls, I've seen you be totally absorbed with shopping and maybe an episode of Offspring. It's funny enough, this week on Offspring, I saw all the Facebook messages regarding this week's episode. If you're a follower, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, we are designed to immerse. We are actually have the capacity to be totally immersed in something. But what we end up choosing to be immersed in is critical. You know, it is significant that the baptism ceremony is a full immersion in water and not just a sprinkling on the forehead or a toe dipped in water. And the reason for that is for what it represents. I don't believe we're called to just have a sprinkling of Christianity in our life. I don't believe that we're supposed to just have our toe dipped in Christ and a toe dipped in the world. What we're actually called to have is a life that is immersed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We just read that. But each day, we're called to immerse ourselves in God. Each day, we're called to die to ourselves and allow Him to birth something new in us. Now, here's the thing. We can come to something like tonight. Maybe you've been baptized before, and you've kind of like ticked the list. And you've kind of gone, yep, I've done my baptism. Tick, done. But how you go on to live from that day is actually really critical. For those who are going to be baptized here tonight, we're all super excited for you, but how you choose to go on and live your life immersed in Christ is critical from here on. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing my message. It brought me back to my own baptism. And I've got a couple of photos to share with you behind on the screen when it comes up. Yay. Okay. So I got saved in another church in Mount Albert, and on the right is my pastor at the time, Pastor Patrick, and on the left is Kathy Clancy, who was an associate pastor at the church. Some of you might know her. And so I was about a year having been saved. I gave my life to the Lord, and a year down the track, I became baptized. And I did the maths, and I figured out there was actually 14 years to this month that I've been basically had my baptism. And so as I was thinking about this time, I was thinking, wow, you know, so much has happened in the past 14 years. And I started to think, you know, this everything at this period of time was fairly new to me. Being a Christian was fairly new to me. And I started to ask the question of myself, am I living or still living an immersed life in Christ? Am I still passionate for God? Do people still see Christ in me? And as I was reflecting on my own life, I began to realize of all the years that have gone by that there are certain phases and periods in my walk that almost are similar to what goes through in a marital relationship. Now, if you're married, even if you're not married here tonight, I bet you're going to be able to relate to some of these periods and phases, and I'm going to go through those phases with you. There's five phases that I want to speak to you about. The first phase is the honeymoon period. Now, the honeymoon period, as we all know, is a period when everything's kind of wonderful. We've got stars in our eyes, everything's new. It's when the relationship starts to become serious. And usually we say we've fallen in love. Most likely we've fallen in like. I know when I gave my life to the Lord, I can't really say that I absolutely loved the Lord because I really didn't know him yet. You know, I was still getting to know who this Jesus Christ is or was. And so, you know, don't get me wrong, I was super appreciative of what God had done for me. I knew that he'd loved me so much that he would die on a cross for me. And so I was completely wowed by that and had obviously made the decision to follow him. But everything was kind of new and I was discovering what this whole thing meant. And so honeymoon period, everything's kind of smooth sailing in one way. There's no bumps on the horizon. Everything's new and wonderful and you get wowed by the fact that God's got this amazing plan for your life and you get so swept up in it all. You know, as you are in this period, we have two choices that we can make. We can choose to stay shallow. We can choose to just have a surface relationship with Christ and not actually spend the time getting to really know who this passionate Christ is. And you can get more swept up in what he can do for you as opposed to what you can do for him. Or we can choose to immerse. We can choose to immerse ourselves in this new relationship and allow God by all means to woo us, but allow him to take us to a really great friendship and allow him to build great intimacy in our life. The honeymoon period is really critical, but we all know honeymoon periods don't last. The next period of time is called the adjustment period. Now, this is where we're adjusting to everything that is new in our life, and we've come to the faith in Christ, and we're starting to work out what these roles actually mean. We find out that Jesus is the Lord of our life. Full stop. Wow. Well, I could spend all night just talking about that. But he's also our provider, he's our defender, he's our advocate, he's our friend, he's our healer, and he's our husband. And all those different roles, we're trying to work out what they actually mean, but we also have some expectations of what those roles mean. At the same time, we're adjusting to what the expectations are of us, because now we're performing a certain role. We're now Christ's follower, we're his disciple, we're his ambassador, we're his friend, and we're his bride. So as we're adjusting to all these things, we're also trying to learn how to communicate with God and pray and read the Bible and come to church and get into a connect group because we want to build community and build friendships and relationships. And we also want to try and contribute our gifts in a meaningful way. And we're also trying to grow in holiness. There's a lot going on in the adjustment period. I'm sure all of us can relate to the adjustment period. We're trying to work this all through. So there's a lot going on. And as we're adjusting to all those things, we're also being pulled into the real world of work, family, friends, study, raising kids. And as you're doing that, you're beginning to tell people that you're a Christian and they're adjusting to you being a Christian, what that actually means. And it can start to feel fairly overwhelming and a little bit isolating. And sometimes you have these moments of, what have I gotten myself into? I'm sure couples can relate to that. We wonder at the same time while we're making all these changes, why we're actually bothering to make these changes, because when we read scripture like 1 Corinthians 15, which says we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, doo-doo-doo. The dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. But we have to change, we have to adjust. In this period, you've got two choices you can make. You can choose to compromise, and basically what that means is the fact that all this change sometimes feels so just too much that you take shortcuts. You choose to take shortcuts because you're leading on your own strength as opposed to realizing that you're in a three-stranded cord, and that three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Or you choose to immerse. You choose to yield to Jesus and take his yoke upon you, which is light. And as you do that, you rely upon the Holy Spirit to show you each day what the key priorities are. What are the things that you need to do? Because as you do that, you live and you move and you have your being in him. And he shows you one step at a time. And as we do that, we begin to change with the process. We're not doing it in our own strength. Then comes the challenge period. This is where trouble starts to brew in paradise. You know, they say that you never know how strong a relationship is until it's tested. And experts tell you that, you know, you have to, you at some point you will go through this period. But all the expert advice in the world doesn't help you when you are. You know, this is when certain things start to go wrong. Maybe it's that job you wanted. Maybe it's that relationship you wanted. Maybe you wanted a big family and were only able to have one child, or maybe you couldn't have any children. Maybe it's a promotion that you've been eyeing off for ages and it's still not coming your way. Maybe you've been mistreated. Something's happened. And basically this period, stuff is hitting the fan and it's not looking pretty. And you're praying to God. You're doing all the things that you're told to do, pray and seek God. And he just seems to be giving you the silent treatment. What we don't realize when we're in this period of time is that whenever we take a test or an exam, the teacher is always silent. And because he's silent, or he feels silent, we question God and we question his motives and we question his plan and we think that maybe he doesn't care. In this period of time, two choices are available to us. We can choose to withdraw. We choose to believe a lie that God doesn't care about us. And because he doesn't care, well, I'm not going to care. And so we choose to withdraw. Or we can choose to immerse. We can choose to immerse ourselves in God and his word, realizing that his word is actually him speaking to us and clinging to his promises. We can choose to believe that just as Jesus was in the boat, and yes, he was asleep, and he said, well, we're going to go to the other side. And despite the storm, he took the disciples to the other side, that he can do the same for us. We choose to believe that. And we also choose to believe what James 1:12 says. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. The next period is the escape period. The great escape period. Now, in a marriage, this is where apparently power struggles in a marriage erupt. No longer do you wear the rose-coloured glasses. You clearly see the vices in the other person. Now, with Christ being perfect and sinless, the problem doesn't lie with him. The problem lies with us. And yes, power struggle is going on. Maybe something that's taken place in the challenge period, maybe it's an offence. Maybe something that's taken place that you know you need to surrender, but you don't want to surrender this to God because you're over it. You're sick of this being hard work. And so we don't surrender, we don't give that area to him. And we choose rather to escape. We choose to focus on anything else but that thing. We choose to look at the other side. The grass over there is definitely looking greener. We start to fantasize what life was like before Christ, BC. How easy it was before. We look at our friends who aren't Christians and we think, gosh, they have it easy. And that's really a lie. But because we're not quite ready to call it quits on our relationship with God, we escape by getting distracted with absolutely everything else but Him. Everything else is more important. And because of that, we start to become bored with spiritual things. We start to become bored with God. If we're really honest with ourselves, we're bored with God, we're bored with church. Because in effect, what we've done is we've put a lid on our relationship and we're not growing. You see, the moment we choose to give that to Him, things will start to change. So in this period, we have two choices. We can continue to idolize. We can continue to be just distracted with everything else other than the thing of turning to God and make everything else a top priority. And if we do that, soon our spiritual life will become like a dry riverbed. Or we can choose to immerse. We can choose to finally yield to God, give that area to Him, repent, which means turn to Him, and draw close to Him. And the moment that we do that, things will start to change in our life. James 4:8 tells us, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you who are double-minded. The last period I want to talk to you about tonight before we baptize people is the rebirth fulfillment period. Now, in the world of marriages, apparently only 15% of couples ever get to this period. And that's because I assume so many divorces take place. And I'd be interested to know, in a Christian sense, in our own walk with the Lord, how true this would be. Because, you know, Scripture tells us that the love of many will grow cold in the last days. And so in this period, this is where we've figured out finally who we're in a relationship with and we're choosing to stay in the relationship. We've been through thick and thin and we've come through the other side. Together with Christ, we've weathered some storms and we're still standing. Hallelujah. We're filled almost with gratitude. We can almost look back and go, wow, you know, yeah, I didn't like all those periods of time. I didn't like the challenge period, but I can see what God has done in that. I can see the character He's formed in me. And because of that, I've seen His faithfulness and He's pulled me through and He's been there as a constant friend. And that despite it all, the love has gone deeper. Now it's not a surface love, it's actually a deeper love that you almost kind of know no matter what happens ahead, He's going to be with me. In this period, you have two choices. You can get comfortable. Yes, you've pulled through some tough times, but there's almost a fear there of any other challenge that may come your way and rock the boat. You so want to keep everything comfortable. You don't want to rock this, you know, change the status quo. Or you can choose to immerse. You can choose to immerse yourself in God and come to that final surrender that no matter what the future holds, no matter what challenges may come up ahead, you know He's going to pull you through. And you know what John 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Yes, tonight is pretty significant for four people. But I hope for those who've been baptized before that it's brought it afresh to you of what baptism actually means. It is not just something we tick off and go, yep, done. It's actually a call to live a life of immersion. Immersion in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We choose whether we're going to stay immersed in God from here on. And my prayer tonight is that we do. Amen. Let's pray. If I can have all eyes closed, thank you. I just want to pray for anyone here tonight, just really quickly. If anything I've just talked about tonight has struck a chord and you've kind of realised I'm not immersing, I'm actually struggling to immerse, and you would like me to pray for you, would you just do me the courtesy of just raising your hand and I'd love to pray. Yep, I see your hand. Yep, awesome. Right across the auditorium. Beautiful. Well, Father, I thank you that you call us to a life of immersion in you, and you tell us that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Lord, you know each person here. You know what they're going through. And I pray right now that as they choose to immerse in you, things will start to change. Let your presence fill them right now, Lord God. Fill their hearts, Lord God. Give them the strength that they need. Lord God, I pray that your presence will be such comfort to them. And I pray for here on that they will always remember that you never leave us and you never forsake us, no matter what we may go through in life. I thank you that you are our great reward, and we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, church. I'm going to invite Andrew Forbes up to the stage.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.